Last week, you heard Deacon Gus preach on the first part of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father the Almighty. In continuation of this sermon series on the Apostles' Creed, we'll be focusing on the second part of the Creed. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son. Last week, you heard the importance of knowing who the Father is and who he isn't. It is equally important to know the second person of the Holy Trinity, but who he is and who he isn't. It would seem that for any properly catechized Christian, regardless of time or location, that this should be a pretty straightforward question and answer. Jesus is God. However, history has shown that this isn't as cut and dry for man to fully comprehend. And as a result, we have seen many a heresy developed in mankind's struggle to come to know our Savior. So much so that the Apostles' Creed was expanded and expounded upon by the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD, and again by the Council of Constantinople in 381 AD, to counteract these heresies and to instruct the faithful on the truth of Christ, who Christ was and who he wasn't. The resultant Niceno-Constantinopolitan Creed, or Nicene Creed, is a creed we will profess in a few moments. It is rich in theology. And yet, often we recite this creed without paying attention to the fullness of what we are saying, which is the impetus for this sermon series. While we deacons will delve slightly into Christology, that is, the theology concerning the nature and works of Jesus, over the course of this sermon series, we will only be scratching the surface. It is important to note that the development of the Nicene Creed did not introduce new doctrine that didn't exist with the apostles, but rather set out to clearly define doctrine that was misunderstood or misconstrued. The primary heresy that prompted the need for the expansion of our profession of faith at the Council of Nicaea was that of Arianism. The main theological argument of Arianism is that while Christ is indeed the Son of God and was begotten by God the Father, Christ was not co-eternal with the Father, but began to exist outside of time. Therefore, if that was the case, the Son was not co-eternal with the Father, he could not be the exact same nature, but rather a similar nature. This is called homoiousianism. This is very different from true Christian Christology, also known as homoousianism. The difference in spelling is one letter, the Greek letter iota. The Greek word homo means same. The word homoi means similar. The one iota of a difference is earth-shattering. This, of course, led to a more extreme form of Christology called heteroousianism. Hetero meaning dissimilar or not the same. This was promulgated by one of Arius' followers, Aetius, who asserted that the Son was dissimilar to the Father and is not of the same essence and nature. He was not God. These distinctions made the Son subordinate to the Father, greater than the angels, but less than God the Father, a demigod, if you would. Adopted by God to be the Son of God, this makes Christ a creature, since his existence is not independent of God the Father. So how do we answer these assertions? Well, let's look back at the instrument given to us by God through the magisterium of the church, the Nicene Creed, with specific focus on the relationship of the Son to the Father. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. So let us break this down into sections. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ. In the extraordinary form of the gospel reading for this Sunday, we hear that after being astonished at the multitude of fishes brought in at the word of Christ, Simon Peter falls at his feet and proclaims him to be the Lord. There are many other instances where Christ is proclaimed to be the Lord in the Bible. Next, the only begotten Son of God. There is no other being other than Christ who can truly be called the Son of God except by adoption. We can be called adopted sons and daughters of God only through the salvific act of the true Son of the Father, Christ. Next we hear, born of the Father before all ages, meaning that he is co-eternal with the Father. As the Father has no beginning and no end, the same applies to the Son. God from God, light from light, true God from true God. He is co-equal and of the same nature, homoousia. Begotten, not made. So when we use the term begotten, we are saying that the Son is generated from the Father and is not a creation of the Father. If the Son was created, this would mean that the existence of the Son would have to be an act of willing on the part of the Father, which would necessitate that the Father existed before the Son, thereby negating the co-eternal nature of the Son. Rather, the Father generates the Son by communicating the whole divine essence to the Son. The Son is not an act of willing on the part of the Father, but rather an act of knowing. Thus, the Son's co-eternal existence is a necessity of the nature of God. Since the Father is omniscient, meaning he knows everything, he is all-knowing, he cannot simply know something at one point that he did not already know beforehand. Next, we talk about consubstantial with the Father. He's of the same essence and nature. Through all things, through him, all things were made. At the end of the extraordinary form Mass, the last gospel is proclaimed from the beginning of the gospel according to St. John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came to be through him, and without him, nothing came to be. Christ is the Logos, the Word of God, who was with God from the beginning, who was God from the beginning. Through him all things were made, co-equal and co-eternal with the Father. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.